So cool to be here with you. So cool to come hang out, worship God, and hear from the Word of God. So just welcome you. We have been in a series since the beginning of this year, and we've been talking about moments. And we've just been talking about how God gives us these moments that shape our life, these moments that raise our faith level, moments that we would never forget. And so today, we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a story in the Old Testament where God's people experienced this moment, where they saw the hand of God move in a supernatural way. We're going to look and see where God brought victory to his people in this one moment. And I think it's something that you and I can learn from, something that you and I can apply in our lives that can help us have these moments as well. So if you would, bow your heads, let's pray, and then we'll get to the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for every person that is here in this room. Thank you for the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharp and it's quick and it's powerful. And thank you that the Word of God lays out an example for us to live our lives by, Lord, that the Word of God, the principles in the Word of God are true. So anoint this place, speak to me, open our hearts, open our minds to hear a little different today, open our minds to receive a little different today, open our minds to be willing to push forward and give a little extra today. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, we're going to talk about a story where Judah had this king named Jehoshaphat. Judah, it's God's people, it's God's chosen ones, and they have a king named Jehoshaphat. We're going to look at some character qualities of Jehoshaphat. We're going to look at him as a leader and how he lives his life. How many of you know the leader that you are following matters? Can I hear a good amen? And you don't have to have a perfect leader, and you don't have to have a leader that always says everything right, and you don't have to have a leader that is always politically correct, but here's what we do need. We need a leader that follows the commands and the blessings of God. It matters as we lead. And so then we're going to talk about King Jehoshaphat. Here's what you need to know about him today. 2 Chronicles chapter number 17. 2 Chronicles chapter number 17. We'll read verses 3 through 6. It says this, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Praise God. How many know right quick? There's power in that little short phrase right there. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. I'm thankful that my God, he goes with me and he walks with me and he talks with me. Can I hear a good amen? And I'm thankful that we come to church, and I'm thankful that we can meet with an almighty God. And but we need to take God away from here with us, because I need God as I'm trying to be a husband to Jennifer. I need God as I'm trying to raise my children. I need God. The Lord needs to be with us. There is power in just knowing God is always with me. I don't know. That raises my confidence level a little bit, y'all. Like, I'm not going on my own, but the Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why was he with Jehoshaphat? Because he walked in the earlier ways of his father, and he didn't seek after false gods. He didn't seek after the Baals. But he sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments, and he didn't walk according to the practices of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was very courageous in the ways of the Lord. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because Jehoshaphat chose to walk in the ways of God. Can I just tell you something? There's this belief system in the American church right now that God is going to be with me, and God is going to fight for me, and God is going to do all these things for me, but yet I don't have to walk in the commandments of God. I can continue to live outside of the will of God. I can continue to follow the ways of the world and the ways of culture. I don't have to walk in holiness. I don't have to enter into the covenant relationship of marriage. I don't have to believe the Word of God. And God is still going to be with me and honor me. Can I tell you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. If you want God, and if I want God to move on our behalf and to do the miraculous things in our life, then you and I have some responsibility to follow and obey the commandments of God. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me hanging on that one now. God was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the ways of his father David. How many of you know there ain't no school like the old school? Come on, somebody. And you know what trendy is? Trendy is just trendy. Trendy's here for a moment and gone for the next, and I like trendy. I like trendy clothes. I like trendy music. I like trendy stuff. But you know what? We need to go back to some old school stuff and say, I'm going to read the Word of God. We need to go back and say, I'm going to walk in. We need to go back in some old school and say, I'm trusting God. And here's what I love about Jehoshaphat. He was courageous. How many know we need some courage? We need to just get down gritty, have some courage. If you're going to stand for God, if you're going to go against culture, if you're going to live according to the Bible in the world, in the liberal times that we live in, you better have some courage down inside of you. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat. He's living in the blessings of God. And then it says this, that God established Jehoshaphat. I want to talk about that for a minute. I love that word, established. You know what that word means? Established means that it was founded, that it was built, that it was settled or it was installed relatively in a permanent position. How many of you are thankful that you're no longer living on shifting sand anymore? The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. How many of you, can I get a witness, have been like me and you tried to live both lifestyles? You tried to live one lifestyle on Saturday and another lifestyle on Sunday, and you were unstable in all your ways. But when we honor God, He establishes us. He picks us up out of the miry clay and He sets our feet on the rock to stay. I am thankful that my life is established on the rock of Jesus Christ. I can stand firm in the middle of shifting sand. God wants to establish us. Establish our marriages. Let me give you an example. Marriage. The Cody Cochran family was established 27 years ago. When Tubby and I walked down the aisle and we entered into the biblical covenant of marriage. We entered into this relationship. It was her and it was me and it was God, and we entered into this relationship. But I'm going to tell you, we had to work like heck over the last 27 years to keep that thing on the rock. Can I hear a good amen? It's the same way with our spiritual journey. If we're going to stay founded in our faith, if we're going to be able to walk through fire, if we're going to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have to work hard to stay established. And I just want to tell you something today. God wants to establish you. God wants to establish you, your marriage, your relationships. But how many of you know, if we choose to honor God and we choose to obey the commands of God and God establishes us, how many of you know that there's always an enemy out there that wants to knock us off center? The enemy out there, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want us established. He wants us shifting. He doesn't want our families established. He wants them shifting. And so the enemy and the opposing forces, and I'm just being real with you, there's some other jealous people and bitter people in your life. They don't want to see you established either. Because how many of you know misery loves company? And if you're living a miserable life and all of a sudden you trust Jesus and God establishes you and you start to follow the ways of God, there'll be some bitter and jealous people in your life that'll want to get you off the rock. Can I hear a good amen? I ain't trying to be negative. You just need to know that not all of your neighbors want God's best for you. Not all of you. You just got to know that. And here's proof of it. Watch this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. Jehoshaphat, Judah, they're established. They're serving God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 through 4 says, after that, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites, they came against Jehoshaphat. Three neighboring nations go, you know what? We're going after them. We're going to take Judah down. Verse 2 says, some of the men came and told Jehoshaphat, there's a great multitude coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Hazatamar. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. And he set his face to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all the land. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I want you to see this great leadership here. Jehoshaphat has led them in a good way to where the blessings of God would come, and then the enemy comes. And all of a sudden, there's a war ensuing. All of a sudden, there's a battle out there. All of a sudden, these three other nations are coming to Judah. The odds are stacked against them. It doesn't look good. What does this great leader do? What should great pastors do? What should great fathers do? What should great mothers do? When trouble comes, they should rally the troops together and say, we're going to seek the hand of God. Jehoshaphat calls the whole nation, come together. Let's have a big church meeting. He said, let's have a big church meeting. And I also like this. He says, we're going to start fasting. fasting. We're going to start fasting, a biblical principle that worked back in the Bible and still works nowadays. We don't like to talk about doing the extra things. We don't want to give any extra. We just want to come to church, say a quick prayer, and hope God would move. Can I tell you, if we really need God to move against our enemies, sometimes we have to be willing to give just a little bit more. We have to fast a little bit more, pray a little bit more. Jehoshaphat, he's a little bit of fear strikes him because these armies are coming against him. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Fear is okay to experience, but we can't continue to live in fear. Fear is okay. Fear is natural. Sometimes when fear comes over us, it's okay, but we can't stay in fear. We have to move out of it. And some of you, you're staying in fear. You're fearful of the enemy. You're fearful of the diagnosis you got from the doctor. You're fearful about screw worms coming up from the Mexico cattle. We're fearful of this and we're fearful of that. God never intended for us to continue to live in fear. If you experience fear, move out of it to God and trust God in all things. Fear, a little bit of fear, really, it's kind of okay because it'll motivate us and push us to do more. Jehoshaphat, not only did he turn to God, he turned the people of the nation to God. He calls them together. All the cities come together. Here's the church meeting. 2 Chronicles 20. I'll read a few verses, 5, 6, and 10 and 12. 2 Chronicles 20, starting verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood before the community. He got them all together. He stood in front of the new courtyard at the temple, at the church of the Lord, and he prayed. That's what good leaders do. They pray. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Verse 10, and now see what the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir are doing. You wouldn't let our ancestors invade their nations when Israel left Egypt. So we went around them and didn't destroy them. And now, look how they reward us. They're coming back to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop the enemy? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. How many of you are in a battle right now and you say, I just don't even know what to do? I just don't know how. I tried this and I tried that and I called him and I called her. We need to come to a place where we go, I may not know what to do, but I know who to call on, and I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills under where my help comes from. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on God, and I'm going to listen for his direction and instruction in my life. Great leadership. He's honest. He's authentic. He prays to God. Watch this. I think we got to throw this in here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 13. They're all together and they're meeting together. Can I say this? I freaking love this part right here. 2 Chronicles 20, 13. As all the men of Judah stood before their Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. They had church in the Old Testament. They needed to hear from God. And you know what the assembly was filled with? Families. Big ones and little ones. Fathers and mothers and little kids. Like, I love little kids coming to church with their families. And I get the questions all the time. Well, are we ever going to do children's church? Are we ever going to do? And the answer is, until the Lord says something different or the bush burns or the eastern sky splits, the answer is no. We are not. If you want to go, Tubby's going to get on to me for saying this. If you want to go to a traditional church that has a little children's church, and I'm not saying it's all bad for everybody, but if you want to go to that church, then you need to find that church. But at this church, we're going to focus on families, and mothers and dads and grandmothers and granddads are going to bring their children to the house of the Lord. We take our five-year-olds to football games. We take them to rodeos. We take them to the dances at night. We take them everywhere with us. Why should we not bring them to the house of the Lord and teach them the importance of worshiping God and hearing from the Word of God? It's what we do. They brought this big, huge assembly. Now let's talk about some real stuff right here. How many think some of them kids cried out during that meeting that day? They did. Some kids cried out. You think some kids fussed just a little bit? You think they got a little fussy? Of course they did. And here's what I would say to you. If you bring your children to church and they cry out, don't apologize to me at the back door. Don't apologize to me. It just happens. Now, if your kid starts crying for 5 minutes, be a good parent. Parent them. Teach them. Take them outside to the awesome coffee bar or the foyer that we have out there so that you're not a distraction for others. But we love our kids, and we want them to be brought into church with us. Teach your children in church. Parent them in church. You wouldn't let your five-year-old run around at the movie theater, so don't let your five-year-old run around unattended at church. Can I hear a good amen? Bring them to church. I guarantee you, these little ones, here's what I found out in 24 years. Little ones hear from God sometimes better than us big ones hear from God. Because we worry about what we're going to have for lunch. And we worry about what went on. And little kids, they come to church and they just know it's the house of God and they want to hear from God. Can I tell you something else? Little children, they watch mom and dad get up on Sunday morning. They watch mom and dad come to church, and they watch mom and dad praise God, and they watch mom and dad let a tear roll out of their eye, and they watch grandma and granddad. Those little kids are catching faith from how they see you and I live our lives. More, I love this phrase, and I've said it forever. When it comes to raising little ones and mentoring little ones, more is caught than is taught. They catch what we do. These little kids showed up at church. They're creating this atmosphere. Watch what happens. Everybody's there. Jehoshaphat's leading them. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. The prophet of God speaks. The preacher speaks. And in verse 15, he says, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid anymore. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's." Simple little word changes the fear. Simple little word. The battle is not yours. Do not be afraid. It changes everything. And now watch how cool God is right here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 16 and 17. He lays them out a plan. He lays them out a plan. He lays them out a plan. How many know we need to have some plans, some of y'all? Some of you suckers need to have a plan. Some of you suckers need to prepare. You can't fly by the seat of your britches every day, all the time. You need to hear a plan from God and then follow the plan that God has given you. That's such a good word. Some of y'all, I see you going like this, elbowing your neighbor, your husband. Here's the plan. They come together. They seek God to get a word from God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 16 says, "Tomorrow, march out against the enemy." Tomorrow, don't be afraid. Don't run from them. Don't hide from the fight. Don't hide from the battle. Tomorrow morning, get up and march out against them. And God says this. This is how cool God is. You're going to find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz, the end of the valley that opens up into the wilderness of Jeriel. He's like, here's how the enemy's going to come. They're going to try to sneak in. Here they go. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the enemy's plan. They go, watch verse 17. "But when you get to the battlefield, you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory." Can I say this right quick? Some of you overdoers and overworkers and overachievers, which is me, you need just stop and stand still and watch God work. Because I'm the kind of guy that sometimes I don't want to stand still and I don't want to watch God work because I'm a busybody and I think God ain't doing it quick enough and it ain't on my time. And because I am ambitious like that and I tell everybody that's just the way I am and God made me and I'm a driver and I'm aggressive and I'm passionate and I'm intense and I'm going forward. Sometimes my passion and my intensity and my aggression stops God from being able to do what God wants to do. God says you're going to march out, stand still, take your position, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Jerusalem and Judea. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. God says, stand up to this battle. Stand up to this fight. Look this problem right eye to eye. Stand to them face to face, nose to nose, toe to toe. Don't you be scared. Don't you be discouraged. Face your problems head on. Let me ask you right quick, time out. How many of you are facing some battles right now? You come to church, and I'm glad you're here, but when church is over, how many of you know that battle is going to be waiting right outside? Or when you get home tonight, the battle is going to be there. See, we're all in a spiritual battle, and we have to understand that. We have to understand that life is a fight. Our children, we got to fight for them. It's a fight right now. And God says, face it head on. Now God's about to lay out some more plans. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18 and 19. After they heard from the Lord, the king Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same. They were worshiping God. Verse 19, then the Levites from the clan of Kohath and Korah stood to praise God. The Levites, they're in charge of praise and worship. They're the ones that blow the trumpets. They're the ones that play the guitars. They're the ones that lead the music. And after they heard from God, the entire assembly stood up and they shouted and they praised God with a very loud shout. With a very loud shout, they sought the Lord and he answered. How many know that had to be a moment for them right there? God, give me a plan. God promised victory. Let's walk this thing out. See, here's what I want you to see. This story starts with Jehoshaphat calling an assembly, praying to God, hearing from God, and watch this. Before the battle ever took place, the people praised God. How many know there's power in praise? Come on, somebody. Yeah, if the praise subject makes you nervous, you are in trouble for the next 12 minutes. Because I'm fixed to talk to you about the power of praise. We do not have these musicians and we do not have this band. And God did not anoint and raise these people up so that we could have a concert on Sunday morning so that you could sit out there and watch and admire their talents. God anointed them and gave them gifts. And they said yes to step up here to lead you in praise so that what God is doing in them would get on you. And now we would all together lift up our voice and we would praise. We would praise God because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And where God is praised, his presence will show up. They get the presence of God comes and they praise God before the battle. Can I tell you, some of you need to praise God before the battle? Because you're waiting until after the battle's over. And you're waiting to see if it turns out like you want it to turn out. And then maybe you might praise God. But no, they praised God before the battle ever got there. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what God is teaching us and training us to do. The people were practicing in a time of peace. Because the battle hadn't come yet, they were practicing in a time of peace and calm to do what God is going to ask them to do in the middle of time of war and chaos. Practice in peace so that when the war came, I still had praise in my mouth. Watch this. God lays it out for us right here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 through 21. Early in the morning, like instructed, the army of Judah went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. They're on their way. I mean, like, get in your mind. It's a battle, y'all. Judah has fought battles before. They fought them with bows and arrows. They fought them with swords and shields. They know what it's like to go to the battlefield. They're expecting in their mind, here we go. We're going to face them all. We're going to win. It's like the battle of the Spartans. It is balls to the wall. Let's get it on. They're ready to fight. And as they go early the next morning, on the way, Jehoshaphat, the leader, says, stop. I've heard from the Lord. We're going to do something different today. How many of y'all like to do it a little bit different? None of you, right? Come on, somebody. We want to do it the way we've always done it. Well, last battle, here's the way we did it. But you know, God said, no, this is a new season and a new battle, and I'm God, and I'm going to show up in a different way. Jehoshaphat says, hold up, listen to me. All you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. And you'll be able to stand firm. Believe in what the preacher said and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed the singers who usually travel in the back of the troops. The guitars, because like, you know, you don't want skinny jean people up here in the front fighting the battle. You want them in the back. Come on, somebody. Drinking a double tall latte Starbucks drink with soy milk in two sleeves so it doesn't burn their soft little sensitive hands. Can I hear a good amen? Like, put them in the back. Let the warriors up front. Jehoshaphat says, wait a minute. Bring all them people around to the front. Bring them around to the front. After consulting the people, the king appointed the singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. This looks so much different than it's ever looked before. We're doing it a new way, but the praise is going forward, and the praise is going first. They were obedient. Let's see what the results of their obedience was. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the enemies who were gathered against Judah, he caused them to start fighting amongst one another. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they started attacking one another, so that when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw was dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. The praises went up and the presence of God came down, and when they got to the battlefield, the entire enemy army was dead. Come on, somebody. There was this praise, man. I think about this in my mind as these guys are going forward and they're singing and they're praising. And I think about, what did they sing? Like, what songs did they sing? What style did they sing? And can I tell you something? Who cares what kind of style they sang? They sang thanks and praise to God. I am so tired. Can I tell you what I'm so tired of? Can I get on my soapbox a minute? I am so tired of the Christian church arguing over praise and worship in the church. Is it contemporary or is it old school? Is it a new song or is it out of the hymnal? Is it this kind of music or that kind of music? Can I tell you, the enemy has no hold on any style of music as long as music glorifies God. You can even let you, I mean, like, it can be rap. God forbid. It can be Western swing. Man, when we started over here and Jennifer played the fiddle, all I used to say was, they're just playing that old honky-tonk music over there in that church over there. As long as it glorifies God, it does not matter what kind of style it is. You know what I think, though? I think they had a little bit of grit and a little bit of growl as they were going to battle that day. I do not think that they sang songs about giving Jesus a sloppy, wet kiss. I do not think that they sang songs about, I just want to sit at your feet, Jesus, and drink from the cup in your hand. I think they had some adrenaline going. I think they had a little bit of fire going. And I think they were singing, maybe, victory in Jesus. I think they were singing, hail, hail, Lion of Judah. I think they had some growl. I think they had some passion going on. And they were praising God with everything they've got. They were praising God. Oh, can I preach a long time to y'all today? Y'all ever watch them rugby things on YouTube? Google it, YouTube it. Rugby haka. You ever seen them? Rugby players, rugby teams, before the battle ensues, they line up together side by side, and they get intense eyes, and they go, hoo-ah, ha, hoo-ah, 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 hoo-ah. They get this intention and this pat, and they're trying to intimidate the enemy and let the enemy know, we didn't come to play patty cakes today. You better look out, because I'm going to knock you down. I just think the Christian church in America would see many more victories if we got a little bit wide-eyed about our praise, if we got just a little bit excited and we quit coming to church playing praise the Lord. Get up, get your eyes open, praise your God, and let the enemy know you're finna bring it to him out there. I just say, we're long as I'm pastor, we're gonna have a little grit in our praise, y'all. I'm just saying we are. And can I take a little step and help you a little bit? Some of you maybe are a little bit more worshipful and you want more intimacy. Can I tell you, your intimate time with the Lord should be on your time. If you want to be intimate with God and you want to be a little bit more worshipful, that's you and that's your time. Because when we come here, we're like Jehoshaphat and Judah. We're going to rally the troops and we're going to praise God and we're going to leave here and kick some butt. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to do. But look, God ain't done yet. He didn't just give them victory on the battlefield. Watch 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 25, after all the enemies dead, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 25, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. Back in the day when you defeated an army, you got to get their gold. You got to get their swords. You got to keep their instruments. You got to keep their clothing. So Judah goes out and they gather plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it all. And on the fourth day, they gathered together in the Valley of Blessings, which got its name from that day because the people praised God and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them. Overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies, they marched into Jerusalem to the music of the harps and the lyres and the trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, fear came over them all. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. God didn't just give him victory. He gave them the blessings to go with it. And after that, I love what they did. They praised God one more time. They praised God for the blessings. Here's what I want you to see. How many know that was a moment for them when it was all said and done? A moment that praise caused. Here's what I want you to see. This entire story started with the assembly coming together, and they praised God. And then they get to the battlefield, and they praise God in the middle of the battle. And then at the end, after victory has come, they praise God one more time. I want you to know there's power in praise. And you and I got to get our praise back. You and I got to get our praise back. You and I have got to get our praise back. You don't have to be as loud as me. You don't have to jump up and down. But some of you just need to sing praise to God. Some of you just need to clap to the Lord just a little bit. Some of you, it wouldn't hurt you. I know you're quiet and I know you're shy, but when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, at least you could go, woo. Why couldn't you? Because you do it at the basketball game, because you do it at the rodeo, because you do it at home. Why can't we get our praise back and say, it don't matter what anybody thinks. It don't matter what grandmama and grandpapa told me. What matters is me right now. I'm having a moment. God is good. I'm going to praise God. Praise is powerful. Praise is a game changer. Praise is pleasing to God. How many of you going to heaven one of these days? Say yes. Yes. Guess what we're going to do when we get to heaven? Preachers done preach themselves out of a job. We're going to praise God throughout all eternity. Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered around the throne of the Lamb, and we're all going to be praising God. And guess what? There's going to be instruments, the Bible says, and it's going to be loud, the Bible says. One more thing, and I'm done. Praise, hear me on this, and because I love you. Praising God, it's not optional. It's not an option. Some of us come to church and we don't feel good. So we go, you know what? I'm not going to praise God today. You take an option, I'm not going to praise. Well, I don't like this song that we're singing, so I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to clap. Praise is not optional. If you want to see it move in your life, you and I have to make a conscious choice to say, I'm going to praise the Lord. Let the praises of God continually be in my mouth. Yeah. Conrad worship team, come help me close. When we get this, when we understand this, we must prepare to watch God move and bring victory, and we must prepare for the blessings of God. It starts with praise. The bottom line is this today. The whole story starts out with Jehoshaphat honoring God and his ways. Can I just challenge you? Honor God. Honor his commandments. Honor the word of God if you want the blessings of God and you want God to be with you. Work hard to stay established. Work hard. Work hard. Put forth effort and energy to stay established on him. Let the praises of God continually be in our mouth. Praise God before the struggle. Praise God in the middle of the struggle, and praise God after the struggle. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet, and we're going to close with this today. How many of you would say, I love having moments with God? Let me ask you this question right now. How about a moment with God right now before we leave here? How about a moment with God, you personally? What God has spoken to you, what God has challenged you with. You know, we're a lot like this story. We're a lot like Judah because we got some battles. We got some battles to fight. We got some struggles outside of here. We're a lot like the story that we read today. We got big ones and little ones. We got moms and dads and children. We're all in here together. Some of us are a little scared. Some of us are a little nervous. Some of us don't even know what to do in the situation that we're in right now. But how about we make a conscious effort to say, you know what, God is good, and I'm going to praise God in this place. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to sing to the Lord. I believe this. God did it for Jehoshaphat, and he did it once. I believe God can do it again. I actually believe what is fixing to take place in this church in the next 10 minutes is going to affect some situations outside of this church. Anybody want to believe that with me? I believe what's fixing to happen in here, what you choose to do, will change your circumstances outside of there. I just think this, and I'm done. I think as this army starts marching, and they're doing it in a different way, because the worship is at front, I think they probably start out like this. Thank you, God. Praise God. And the closer they got to the battlefield, and the more they saw God move, the harder they went to clapping, and the more they were stomping, and energy and excitement and expectation was coming over them, and they began to sing louder because they began to see something in the Spirit. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you and I right now that we can see what God is doing, that we can see victory coming to our marriage, that we can see our children coming home out of the pig pen, that we can see a new diagnosis from the doctor. I just pray that you could get a glimpse of how good your God is. And right now, we're going to start praising God, and we're going to get louder, and we're going to get louder, and we're going to get more intense, and we're going to trust God to do what God said he would do. Holy Spirit, do it. Holy Spirit, give us energy, give us strength, give us focus, give us courage to worship a little louder, sing a little harder, because you deserve all of our praise. Let's sing like we love the Lord.